When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to This is the Jet Life with Dan Burnham, your guide to the New York Jets, sports, and much more. And now, your host, Dan Burnham.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of This is the Jet Life. Today's podcast is especially exciting, not because of any of the free agent signings we made, not because of the rumors of Aaron Rodgers or Odell Beckham Jr., but because this is the very first This is the Jet Life podcast recorded for the Fans First Sports Network. The podcast is no longer part of Gangrene Nation or SB Nation, and when that relationship ended, the show was picked up by the brand new Fans First Sports Network, which is going to be an absolutely awesome place for podcasts. They're going to have Premier League soccer, hockey, basketball, baseball, football, college sports, all sorts of things. So you're going to see a lot more from Fans First coming out, not just from my podcast, but in the whole podcast world. And some of the visions for this podcast are potentially even similar to when I was with Gangrene Nation, and we had the feed there, and it was me and Michael Nania at first doing some pretty good things, I thought. And then Michael Nania went and created Jets X Factor, which is very cool, his own venture. And then we got that other guy who did some podcasts alongside me with Gangrene Nation for a while. Wasn't the same cup of tea, but then he kind of faded away, and it was just me there. And as we know, I'm kind of inconsistent with my podcasts. I do, during the regular season, I do one every Tuesday, recapping the game. And then in the off season, I kind of do like important dates, but we never really know when they're coming. We know there will be one before free agency and after, before the draft and after, but even I don't really know or have a firm schedule for the podcast. And I think it's kind of a bummer because it makes this a difficult place to just like rely on for Jets information. It's just when they become available. So my goal is to eventually get maybe one, two, couple more podcasts that are under this network, similar to how it was before. And we can kind of fill up some of the weekly information. It won't have to all come from me, but if we can get some good sources on the other side doing that, I think that would be good. So something that may be coming with this Fans First Sports Network. I think also an opportunity for me to kind of fill some of those gaps is to, rather than doing one, if you've listened to the show before, you know that oftentimes I will do one really long 80-minute podcast. And I try to keep them short. Sometimes I try to keep them under 60 minutes. Hardly ever happens. But it's one really long thing. And if you're tuning in for a specific piece of information or something that interests you, it can be difficult to find, know where it is. So something I'm going to try, like for this episode, for example, is splitting it up into two. Rather than doing one big podcast that's going to be everything from free agent signings, trades that we've made, re-signings, targets that we're looking at, the Aaron Rodgers rumors, all their news and notes around the team and everything, and doing 80 minutes of that, I think it might be better for me to try to do two, I don't know what it'll be, 30 or 40 minute episodes. So today, I'm going to do the Jets news and transactions, everything that's transpired through free agency so far, an exact recap to date of everything that's happened. And then on Friday, I'm actually going to do an Aaron Rodgers rumors and targets podcast. So kind of a double dipper, two in 1 week, but they're going to be shorter, micro, easier for me to focus on one set of information at a time and offer a little bit more content, not have as many, you know, really long 80-minute podcast. We'll see how it works. Let me know what you think on Twitter, at Jets_Dan is the best way to reach me. The only thing that's going to affect negatively, in my opinion, is, well, one, back-end work, but mostly the father times, because I'm good at getting my dad to give me a father time through email like once a week if I give him a heads up, but I don't think there's any way that I can get two in 1 week if I do two podcasts in 1 week. So basically what I'm going to do is, as always, give him creative freedom to do father time about whatever he wants. And if I'm doing two in 1 week, then I'll just use it when it makes the most sense at the appropriate time. So this week he gave me one a little bit more regarding the draft and some upcoming stuff. So I'm going to use that on Friday's episode. So tune in on Friday to hear the father time for this week and the news on Aaron Rodgers, rumors, other rumors about the Jets, targets we can go after in free agency. But this episode, I'm going to take the time to focus on what I think is the most important stuff. And it's not rumors, it's not future stuff or hypotheticals. It's what has happened. What has Joe Douglas done? Where has the team addressed weaknesses? What weaknesses do we still have? That's what this one's all about. The Jets obviously needed to make money to sign any quarterback. Even if they were going to be signing Jacoby Brissett, they needed to make some cap space to do that. So a lot of restructures we did. We signed some guys, we re-signed some guys, did a couple trades. Got this team better, in my opinion, and still have a lot of opportunity to make the team even better from here. So I'm going to get into all that stuff. Before I do, I need to remind you to rate, review, subscribe to this podcast anywhere podcasts are found. Since the schedule, of course, is a little bit inconsistent with when these podcasts come out, I think subscribing is a really helpful way to keep in touch with when they're coming out. I would like to say that I could do them every single Tuesday or something, but that's just not feasible for me, especially in the off season. So subscribe. Also, new podcast, new area, new network and everything, a great time to give a review or a rating if you haven't done so already, wherever you listen to these. And it should come as no surprise since you already found this podcast, but this is no longer called the Gangrene Nation podcast and then series titled This is the Jet Life. It's actually just called This is the Jet Life, and it's by Fans First Sports Network, so that's where you'll find it. But if you were already subscribed, should have transferred over, all is well. So without further ado, it's time to get into this thing. It's time to talk Jets transactions, what Joe Douglas has done to make this team better, to make the Jets money, to put us in good position, not only for this year, but also for the future. This episode will not have a father time, as I mentioned, but it will have a what's on tap a little bit later. Very exciting. I'm toying with the idea of, since they're shorter episodes, and doing, instead of doing like an 80-minute podcast with 40 minutes in What's on Tap, 40 minutes later, Father Time, or vice versa, doing, a 30-minute podcast with the What's on Tap, and then a 30-minute podcast with the Father Time, maybe go that route. I'll be drinking for all of them, regardless, but whether or not I take the time to do that, how many novelty sections do we need? We got a lot of important Jets things to get to, and that is the priority. So, starting with the Jets transactions, and what the Jets have done, they started by cutting fan favorite Braxton Berrios. And this wasn't a surprise. I think we all knew that he was absolutely a restructure candidate. Talked about that on the last podcast. Cutting him made a lot of sense too. Last year, he signed a 2-year, $12 million deal. He had only 236 all-purpose yards last year as a wide receiver in 2022. So he didn't have great work in the offense. It was kind of the theme for a couple guys. Elijah Moore didn't have a great role in the offense. Braxton Berrios didn't have a great role in the offense. Garrett Wilson flourished, however. The tight ends did really well. So there was a lot of kind of unbalance within the roster. And Braxton Berrios was one of those guys that wasn't getting a lot of offensive opportunities, whether it was Mike LaFleur, whether it was just his own abilities or lack thereof. We know that he dropped a touchdown pass in the Vikings game that would have probably won the game for him and maybe gotten us in a situation where we could have made the playoffs. So it was a really, really horrible, horrible, devastating drop that Braxton Berrios had. But I don't want to pin it all on that. I want to say that he's a somewhat effective slot receiver who's obviously very, very small, undersized, but shifty and can do some special things, throwing the ball, running the ball. Really, really good at finding open holes and knowing his angles to not get tackled and get the extra 5, 6, 7 yards, not get hit really either. But then he brought that whole special team side of it. And 2 years ago, before we gave him the big contract, he was an all-pro first-team punt returner. He didn't do quite as well last year. I had a lot of gripes about him calling fair catches with defenders bearing down on him maybe 10 yards away. And I'm thinking, you're an all-pro punt returner. I know you're small, but if you're back there as one of the best getting paid like it, we expect you to take some of these back, have a little bit more gusto in it. I'm not saying get injured. I'm not saying do anything stupid or fumble the ball because he doesn't do that. He's a smart player, makes the right decision, but sometimes maybe be a little bit more aggressive and allow that punt return game to shine the way it had. And in a lot of games this year with our offense struggling, when the running back went down, and Zach Wilson's in there, Mike White, whoever it was, and it's like, man, we need to manufacture offense one way or another. Braxton Berrios was a guy that I would point to a lot and say, we need a big game from him, because if it's not coming from the offense, if it's not coming from the quarterback, we need as good a field position as we can possibly get. In some situations, even start in field goal range from a really good punt returner. And that's what we were getting a little bit 2 years ago. We re-signed Braxton Berrios, didn't get a lot out of him, so we cut him. We saved $5 million in cap space this year. He was a favorite, but we're going to get to the guys that we've signed on this offseason, and I honestly think that we found an upgrade to him if everything goes well and health stays good, knock on wood. But it was a great Jets career for Braxton Berrios. He made an all-pro team there, right? He was a fan favorite. We loved him, did some funny things, always a happy guy, great to hear in the locker room and everything. But when it all comes down to it and you're trying to win a Super Bowl, could we do better than him for the price that he was getting paid for that $5 million that we need to use elsewhere? Yeah, I believe so. He has since, unfortunately, signed a one-year, $3.5 million deal with the Dolphins. So we will continue to see him. They're going to have a really weird offensive leg. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Braxton Berrios, just really fast, shifty dudes that are going to be tough to cover. But I trust in our Michael Carter 2, our Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed, to cover those guys, shut down the Dolphins. Keep in mind, Braxton Berrios started on the Patriots. He was cut for Gunnar Olszewski as a punt returner, came to the Jets. Now he's making his third AFC East team, the Miami Dolphins. So, you know, it is what it is. Good wishes to Braxton Berrios, of course. Hope he does well. Not against us, but I hope he has a good career, a long career, stays healthy. Wish the best to him. So we saved $5 million in doing that. Other ways that we saved additional money that we needed to sign free agents and potentially go after a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers was to restructure some dudes. And I had a list last week of the possible restructure candidates, and JD was able to throw in a couple more that weren't even on the list. Restructuring DJ Reed, CJ Uzoma, Laken Tomlinson, and Tyler Conklin, in addition to John Franklin Myers. So we saved, it was something, I don't know, $15, $16, $20 million in cap space by just restructuring and basically deferring money into future years and giving signing bonuses rather than like weekly paychecks that they'd be giving to the players. So the Jets were able to save some money there. Players are in good situation, I think, as well. Braxton Berrios was the only cap casualty. There is still like a weird situation where Corey Davis kind of needed to be restructured because he's getting paid $11 or $12 million guaranteed this year. Or not guaranteed, $11, $12 million, but not guaranteed any of it. So we could cut him and save all that money. And it's like, is that the situation or the position that we really want to be putting that type of money into for a guy that's been injured the last couple of years? And the fact that they haven't restructured him or worked anything out kind of makes everybody think right now that he may be traded to the Packers in an exchange for Aaron Rodgers, which is definitely possible. But it's, I think they're waiting to see what the Packers want to do to get this deal done. And if, for any reason, the Packers say they don't want Corey Davis, I think the Jets would then look to restructure him. And if they can't do that, then perhaps they would look to, I think they'd look to maybe trade him, maybe even cut him. But a lot of hypotheticals there. We'll see what happens with Corey Davis. As of right now, he is on the roster. But we do have a pretty good receiving group at this point in time, I think. Joe Douglas always does some trades, some spicy, nifty little trades. Not talking Aaron Rodgers. I'm talking Chuck Clark, who is a totally under-the-radar pickup that Joe Douglas has made that's going to be a really, really valuable addition to this defense. Joe Douglas trades a seventh-round pick, which is certainly nice to have for a, you know, a developmental player, but never really relied upon to improve the roster that year. He trades it for a guaranteed commodity in Chuck Clark, who is a veteran safety playing for the Ravens for the last few years, is still really young, and only has a $4.1 million cap hit. He's only got 1 year left in his deal, so Chuck Clark is going to be coming here as a safety for 1 year for the Jets, and then from there, we'll either move on or re-sign him. We'll have opportunities to extend him throughout the season or before free agency begins next year. So if things go well, he can return for sure, but it's just a 1 year deal for him. But the Ravens had signed Marcus Williams to a huge deal last year, like 4 or 5 years for $70 million for a safety. Then they drafted in the top 15 Kyle Hamilton, another safety. And they're like, all right, this is our future. We've got Kyle Hamilton and Marcus Williams. Bang. Great two safety set. Chuck Clark, however, is such a good professional and so important to that defense that even though they had those two players, their first round pick and their basically highest paid free agent signing on the defensive side of the ball, Chuck Clark played every single snap for the Baltimore Ravens. And it wasn't entirely because of injuries to Marcus Williams or to Kyle Hamilton. It was because Chuck Clark needed to be on the field. The guy is a super reliable tackler. He's basically a strong safety, which is what Jordan Whitehead is, so it creates some kind of ambiguity in how he'll be used on our defense. But for the Ravens, he was a steady tackler, always on the field, young guy, plays with a lot of heart, great teammate, great locker room guy. But most importantly, in a lot of games, he had the green dot on his helmet, meaning he was the only player on defense getting the signal calls coming in from the defensive coordinator. So he's the guy hearing the plays and then communicating that to the rest of the team. For the Jets right now, that's C.J. Mosley who takes on that role. But for the Ravens, in many cases, it was Chuck Clark. Chuck Clark is the guy that was relied upon to communicate everything, to know everybody's assignments, to say, hey, we're doing a soft shell zone, cover three right here, and make sure that everybody's in the right position. He's standing in the back as a safety, so he gets to see everybody in front of him and say, hey, you got to move here. You're supposed to be here. Who's out of position and whatnot. And he's the guy that was trusted with that because he was that important a piece to the Ravens' defense. Joe Douglas was able to get him for a 7th-round draft pick and only have to pay him $4.1 million. And that's less expensive than we saved more money by cutting Braxton Berrios to take the guy that played every single defensive snap for the Ravens and called their plays. Chuck Clark kind of crosses over to what Jordan Whitehead does because neither one of them really is like a true center fielder. They're both kind of box safeties. They like to tackle. They like to hit. They're not super fast. But the way the Jets play their zone defense and the way that Albrecht kind of keeps everybody in position, I wouldn't be surprised to see Chuck Clark playing almost like a hybrid linebacker role. Albrecht and Saleh in San Francisco had taken Marcel Harris, who was a safety for the first few years of his career, and turned him into a linebacker who we then signed last year to play for us. We had that weird linebacker number 36 who was like, huh, that's interesting. He kept number 36 because that was his defensive back number back when those were DB numbers only. And he was kind of moved into that role. It was the same reason that we drafted Hamson Azraldeen, who was a safety. We tried to convert him into a linebacker. Jamien Sherwood was a safety at Auburn. We tried to convert him into a linebacker. I think it's working a little better for Sherwood right now. Azraldeen, not so much. But Chuck Clark could potentially be one of those guys that goes into a hybrid role. And maybe instead of a Quan Alexander, you have something like C.J. Mosley, Chuck Clark, and Quincy Williams out there. And that's a scenario I could see playing out. There's another scenario where they say maybe Chuck Clark has the ability to play sort of free safety stuff in our defense and we won't be overexposed. Maybe three safety looks. Maybe it's just a really, really good depth piece. Obviously, we know he's going to have to play some snaps somewhere across the field one way or another. But we're going to get Chuck Clark involved. He is a very, very good signing. He's a veteran. He's another great dude to have on this defense where it's a lot of young guys. A lot of those, you look at the secondary for the Jets, Jordan Whitehead, you look at DJ Reed, Sauce Gardner, Michael Carter II, Brandon Echols, Bryce Hall, Ashton Davis, Tony Adams, all those guys in the secondary have played like 3 years in the NFL or less in games. Chuck Clark comes over here. He's already the most experienced defensive back the Jets have. He's played the most games, the most snaps of anybody on our defensive backfield. So to add him in here, an awesome trade. I absolutely love it. Great move, under the radar. Can't wait to see what he can do for this Jets team. Now, the next big trade that Joe Douglas sort of swindled was for pick number 42 from the Cleveland Browns, and all he had to give up was Elijah Moore and pick number 74. So essentially, the Jets move up one round from the third round to the second round, pick 74 to 42, and they give away Elijah Moore to the Browns to do so. The Jets now have picks 42 and 43, and we'll see if either of those picks are used to acquire Aaron Rodgers or somebody else. When you look at it on paper, Elijah Moore was drafted 34th overall. We're now getting the 42nd pick. We had to give up the 74th pick to do it. And granted, Elijah Moore doesn't have as many years in his rookie deal as he would have had when he was just drafted. It still, I think, for the Browns, looks like they came out on top. On paper, they've got to be very, very happy giving up the 42nd pick to still acquire a pick and a talent like Elijah Moore, who can be very good in this NFL, I think, playing a really good slot role. He had 538 yards as a rookie, like 5 or 6 touchdowns. Last year, only 446 yards, 1 or 2 touchdowns. Things slowed down, and that's when he got, you know, discontent with everything happening. He was mad at Mike LaFleur, Zach Wilson, whoever. He wasn't getting the ball, wasn't getting targeted. The team was 5-2. We were on a winning streak coming off of one of our best wins in the past like 10 years, and Elijah Moore's demanding a trade, kind of starting the shitstorm tornado that unfolded for the remainder of the year. It wasn't all him, but like put a sour taste in our mouth during a really high time, and it was like, oof, more drama around the Jets. Why right now? and it never kind of went away for the whole season. And Elijah Moore is immature. He doesn't get it. He's sitting there, even though the team is winning, and he's thinking to himself, man, I got to be in a situation where I can get the ball, where I can be a focal point of the offense. If I get my yards, I get my money. I need to prove myself so that I can take care of me and my future, which, you know, on the surface seems like a good idea. What he doesn't understand is that if you make the playoffs and you're a good part of an important team, you get taken care of, whether it's on a team like this or another team. The players that leave the Chiefs that are the third, fourth, fifth option there get paid more money than the third, fourth, fifth option of a team that doesn't win, like on the Bears. It's just the way it works. That's number one. Number two is that things in the NFL do not remain the same forever. In his head, was he thinking that it was going to be Mike LaFleur and Zach Wilson throwing for 2,000 passing yards per season, and that was going to be his career and how it unfold? He didn't stop to think that Zach Wilson's not going to be the guy that's here. Mike LaFleur very well may not be the guy that's here. If it's not working, we drafted you at 34 overall. We think that you're a talent. We like you on this team. We want you to be a part of it. And if it's not working to get you involved in the right ways, then we need to make changes. Cue firing Mike LaFleur. Cue going after a guy like Aaron Rodgers. But now that these good things are happening and things are hopefully going to turn around for the Jets, he's not going to be a part of it. And I won't miss him. I didn't want him when we drafted him. I changed my tune very quickly when I heard him in press conferences and saw him in practice field and playing. I was like, man, I was wrong about Elijah Moore. But you know what? When it all comes down to it, right now, he's a stupid kid. He's immature. He made a dumb mistake. And he doesn't get to be a part of this New York Jets team because of it. We're trying to build the best culture in sports. He's not the best culture in sports. Not even close. You don't go on what could have been, you know, you don't know, but the beginning of a title run perhaps, and say, nah, I don't want to be here. It's not about me enough. Not in your second year. So I won't miss Elijah Moore. Cleveland Brown seems like an absolutely perfect destination for him. When you talk about the free agent signings, how do the Jets replace guys like Elijah Moore or Braxton Berrios? I think the first big one that comes to mind is Allen Lazard. A nice, big-bodied wide receiver, 6'5", 225 pounds, is basically identical to Mike Evans. So a very, very big, large man. He's only 27 years old, coming from the Packers. The Jets give him a 4-year, $44 million contract. $22 million of that is guaranteed. So $11 million this year, $11 next, and then it's up to us if we want to pay him $11 million in his third year, 2025. And then if we say yes, then again, we have that decision in 2026 for $11 million. He's played 5 years in the NFL, all with the Packers, all with, you guessed it, Aaron Rodgers. But I think it may help get Aaron Rodgers here, which is obviously my number one most important thing, get Aaron Rodgers. But I think that outside of Aaron Rodgers, it's still a good signing because he blocks well. He's a big body target. He plays inside and outside. He can play the slot kind of like a Drake London or Mike Evans when he plays slot. And the guy is a really good person, a really mature, professional, respectful young adult. And he just brings a really nice skill set to this team, especially if you don't have a Corey Davis. If Corey Davis ends up being moved somewhere else, which is still possible, Allen Lazard brings that kind of nice blocking outside, brings a little bit more height to it at 6'5". And he never had a massive year. I think that some of the expectations were unrealistic that he may be stepping in for Devontae Adams when Devontae Adams left. It would be like, okay, this is going to go to Allen Lazard now, and Aaron Rodgers is going to make him great. But without Nathaniel Hackett there, and with Allen Robinson not being Devontae Adams, he had 788 yards, 6 touchdowns. A very solid season, for sure. He's not the number one receiver for the Jets. That's Garrett Wilson. But he's a really nice piece to have in there, and a good young man, going to block well. I think he's a perfect signing for this team. Very pleased with Allen Lazard. Another receiver, a little bit more connected to the Braxton Berrios cut, is Mecole Hardman, who's 25 years old, coming over from the Chiefs, spent his whole career there. We bring him in for 1 year, $4.5 million. He's had some injury concerns, but it's a low-risk signing considering it's only $4 million and it's 1 year. If he's injured and he can't play, you lose $4 million. If he's great, you got this awesome player who ran a 4.33 40-yard dash in college. Super fast. He can do screens. He can do wide receiver runs, deep balls, yards after catch, all that good stuff. I mean, the guy is an offensive weapon. He averaged about 600 yards per full season played in a very powerful offense of the Chiefs. So maybe that's 400 yards in the Jets offense, but that still brings a little bit more value and a little bit more of a weapon than I think you had with Braxton Berrios as a receiver. In the punt and kick return game, he has 62 career punt returns with a 9.0 average, which is pretty solid. He has 39 kick returns, decent average there. I think he fills the Berrios slot receiver role, bringing a little bit more juice to the wide receiver room. And at the end of the day, if he costs $4.5 million and Berrios, we save $5 million, he's actually cheaper than Berrios as well. So a really nice signing there. I hope he stays healthy, but he's going to be a really nice addition to this offense, regardless of what quarterback it is. He's going to make a couple flashy plays this year. And they could come at a time when we really need him. Looking at the offensive line, the Jets bring in their Dan Feeney replacement, and that's Wes Schweitzer. He's a 29-year-old guard and center. He's played both positions, played with the Commanders, started with the Falcons. We signed him to a two-year, $5 million deal with 3.2 guaranteed. So he's guaranteed going to be on the roster this year in that Dan Feeney type role. And if they want to cut him next year and lose $700,000 because of whatever, they can do that. He did have a concussion last year that put him on IR, so there's a situation where if he gets head injuries or something, it could keep him out for some time and maybe derail his career, maybe keep him from getting that second contract or second season with the Jets. But this guy played 4,400 snaps with the Commanders since 2017 and a lot of snaps at center the last 2 years, even though he was primarily a guard before that. So he truly is like a Dan Feeney, a guy that can play center and guard. He gives you that flexibility on your offensive line so you can carry one body on game day, but cover three positions because he can play both sides of guard as well. I think that it's a really, really good play for JD to bring a guy like that in. I think Schweitzer probably is about equal to Feeney, maybe a little bit better, I hope. A guy that you don't want to be starting, but if he does, at least he offers flexibility, and at least he's played a decent amount of snaps in the NFL. So happy to have Wes Schweitzer. We needed some depth on that offensive line. Really, really important. We lost Herbig. We lost Dan Feeney. We lost Connor McGovern. We lost Lauren. You know, a lot of guys on that room are moving on. And so to bring in an established player that can do so much, I think it's really great. All right, so that is the first half of the free agent signings. There were a few more. Some other spicy little nuggets, but before we do that, we do have to take a quick pit stop at the cooler for a little What's on Tap. That is right, folks. This is What's on Tap, a portion of the episode where I stop everything to tell you what alcohol I am currently consuming. And today, something awesome. Something from Bissell Brothers, my favorite brewery up in Portland, Maine. This is Precept. It's a German-style Pilsner coming in a 16-ounce can. And Pilsners are good. They're pretty boring, but like they're a solid, easy drinker. So I saw it on their menu, and I'm like, well, I love Swish. It's my favorite beer. I love this brewery. Let me try their Pilsner. It's way overpriced for a four-pack of 16-ounce, like, 5% beer, 5.6%. Way overpriced, but I figured I would try it and bring it home. This is probably the best Pilsner I've ever had. It's super smooth. It still has that normal Pilsner flavor, but it's not bitter at the end. It's a little, like, fluffier and lighter and then kind of just dissipates. I don't know. It's nice. Maybe I'm biased because I love the brewery, but if you're ever in Portland, Maine, I'm telling you, go to Bissell Brothers. If they have Swish, get that, but anything on the menu is going to be really good. That place rocks, and I was lucky enough to go up there. Went ice fishing, caught nothing. That was unlucky, but I was lucky to have Swish and Precept on the menu. Bring those home. Drink it today for this awesome podcast. So cheers to Fans First Sports Network. Cheers to all the Jets fans going through the Jet life. That is this week's What's on Tap. Now, before we move to the next section, or continuing with the free agents, rather, we do have to take a quick commercial break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Alrighty, and welcome back to This is the Jet Life. time to get working through this. My goal was to do two shorter episodes rather than one really long episode like usual, right? So I'm doing this one, which is transactions and news and notes. And then on Friday will be the Aaron Rodgers rumors and targets. But here I am, however many minutes in, with a lot more to go. And I am now just making myself two really long episodes, which was not the plan. I got to get moving. Let's keep going with the free agents. Tristan Colon, coming over from the Ravens, another guard very similar to Wes Schweitzer, just worse. Tristan Colon, you may know him as Tristan Colon Castillo. He's taken off the Castillo. He is now just Tristan Colon. He's been playing offensive guard and some center for the Ravens for the last 3 years. He was an undrafted free agent from them. They elected not to give him any sort of tender, not to keep him. So he signs a one-year deal for $1.6 million with the Jets. Not a lot of risk there, but it's only $250,000 guaranteed. When you look at this guy, he's got four career starts. He appeared in two other games, so six total games. And he can play either guard. He can play center. He's done all of it. He's pretty okay for a young guy who's only 25 years old. He's definitely got like an arrow that could be pointing up. Maybe he's like a Chuma Adoga type of guy that maybe if things go well, we're not quite sure how good he is yet. But I think Joe Douglas did the right thing, and he found, because you can't just bring in a bunch of Wes Schweitzers. You can't have a lot of guys making $5 million or $2.5 million. You can't have a bunch of guys making that kind of guaranteed money at the same position because some of those guys are going to have to get cut. You're going to have dead money. You can't put them on the practice squad, and you can't suit all these guys up. So what, in my opinion, Joe Douglas did was he found the best possible versatile, flexible interior offensive lineman that he could guarantee the least possible amount of money to. You can't guarantee $0, really. I mean, unless you're really, really bad. But you guarantee $250,000, and you say, if we can find an interior offensive lineman in the draft, a center or a guard or anything that we want to bring in, you're gone. We don't need you. We only lose $250K. If we can't, if for whatever reason the draft board doesn't fall the way that we want it to, and there's no guard or center that we really want to get, and we're like, shoot, we have to go with these other players because our board says, you know, it's better to get this tight end here, even though we don't need a tight, whatever it may be, and you shift a different direction, you don't want to be screwed and not have a guy. I think Tristan Colon does have some upside where he could potentially play a reasonable level and has some upside. So I like the signing. I don't think he's going to be a guaranteed roster spot. There's a very good chance he doesn't make the roster, but I do think that if he is there, he offers some upside and that flexibility, similar to a Wes Schweitzer, just one notch below. So that is Tristan Colon. Then the last free agent signing that we've gotten so far at this point in time is punter Thomas Morstead, who you may remember from playing a very small portion of 2021 with us. He played seven games when Braden Mann was injured. And when it comes down to it, Braden Mann was a guy that needed to be replaced. He was making way too many knucklehead mistakes. He'd have a couple bombs, nice punts, good tackle here and there. But then he'd have a shank, do something stupid, and you were like, man, it's just not consistent enough. And if the Jets are going to go on a playoff run and try to be one of those better teams in the AFC, you can't have a punter having 25-yard shanks in a big game and putting you in a bad position. You need a guy that can just consistently get the ball downfield. That's Thomas Morstead. This guy's been in the league for years and years. He played with the Saints for a very long time, 12 years playing in New Orleans. He played last year with the Dolphins. And then 2021, it was split between, I think, the Falcons and the Jets. So he comes in on a one-year, $1.3 million deal. And it basically means that Braden Mann's probably not going to be here anymore. And the Jets have said, that experiment is over. We thought that you could eventually get out some of the knuckleheadery and just bring in that good young punter, polish yourself up. Braden Mann hasn't. He may have regressed even. And so Thomas Morstead at age 37 comes in as a bridge punter who will punt for this year for the Jets, I imagine, maybe even next year. And the Jets will look to move on to another punter moving forward. Probably not Braden Mann for the Jets again. So really quickly going through the re-signings, the Jets players that were free agents, the Jets are bringing back. We don't have to break them down too much because we already know them. They've been here. But the first one, my most favorite of them all, Quincy Williams, Quinnen Williams' brother, is coming back. A three-year, $18 million deal. So Quincy Williams will remain part of this team. He's a great young player. Hits hard. He's getting better and better every single year. And with Quinnen Williams coming up on free agency next year and the Jets having to make a decision on extension or franchise tagging or what, having his brother locked up on the roster may give us the opportunity to get Quinnen Williams for slightly less. Maybe he'll get a little hometown discount. He wants to be here with his brother. You can only hope so. But Quincy Williams, great player in his own right. We needed a linebacker. Awesome to have him. We needed a kicker. Greg Zuerlein is a free agent. We re-sign him. 1 year, $2.6 million deal. 1.7 guaranteed. So unless he gets injured, Greg Zuerlein will be our kicker this year. The Jets put a second-round tender on Bryce Huff. So if somebody wants to try to pick him up, they'll have to give us a second-round pick. And then we have the opportunity to match the offer as well. But most likely, we'll just be paying him $4.3 million for this season and then have to work it out from there. $4.3 million is pretty cheap for Bryce Huff, who was a very, very good pass rusher. Even though he's not an every-down guy, he can't play on running downs. He truly is go after the passer. But when he does it at a high level, so he definitely has a place in this team. We had a lot of free agents in the interior defensive line room, and we bring back Solomon Thomas. We weren't able to get Sheldon Rankins back. We weren't able to get Nathan Shepard back. Oh, no. But Solomon Thomas, a one-year, $2.3 million deal. $2 million of that is guaranteed, so he's going to be playing for the Jets. He was our Man of the Year nominee last year, so really good guy as well. Great locker room player. Becoming a veteran in this league. Knows the Ulbrich and Sala defense really well from playing there in San Francisco and now playing here last year with the Jets. He's not the most talented interior defensive lineman. We definitely need to add more there. We bring back Nick Bawden on a one-year, $1 million deal. That's $150,000 guaranteed. Very good chance he's not on the roster, but he is right now in pole position if we'd elect to carry a fullback on the roster. He's top dog. We bring back running back Ty Johnson on a one-year, $1.2 million deal. Only $250,000 guaranteed. So again, when you're talking to a guy who's guaranteed less than $1 million, it's a very possible situation where they get cut. The Jets are bringing in, you know, 70 guys, 75 guys, and then drafting 8 guys, and then bringing in undrafted free agents for like the last 10 to make a 90-man roster and then cutting them down. All of those players are on contracts. All 90 of those players have contracts. And then it comes down to which players do you keep? When you make your 53-man roster, those are the contracts that are on your team. When you cut a player, you go from 90 men to 80 men. It's actually eventually going to be all one cut down. But when you cut players and you go from, say, 90 to 80, and you cut a guy who had $250,000 guaranteed, you have to pay him that $250,000, but then he's gone, and it is what it is. So Ty Johnson, Nick Bawden, those are guys that will be in training camp and will play preseason with the Jets, but if we find somebody else, it's not going to be a big loss cutting them. Adam Pankey, another guy that comes back, an offensive guard, we don't know him. He's got $0 guaranteed. If he makes the team, he'll get 1 year, $1 million. If he doesn't make it, he won't get paid anything, so he will have an opportunity in camp, but hard to see, unless he shocks some people, blows some minds, hard to see him making the roster. Maybe a practice squad guy. You never know. Looking at the guys that were Jets that didn't re-sign with us, that have signed elsewhere, Braxton Berrios, Dan Feeney, and Mike White all go to the hated Miami Dolphins. Great weather, apparently low taxes, but goddamn, not the Dolphins. Luckily, Berrios was a backup, Feeney was a backup, Mike White was a backup, and they were all guys that we've replaced, or hopefully will be replacing this year, upgrading them. Not huge losses. Another rival, the New England Patriots, they grab James Robinson, who was an absolute failure of a trade from Joe Douglas, who was trying to make something happen when Breece Hall went down, and we were trying to keep playoff hopes alive, but James Robinson wasn't it. Now he's going over to New England. Nate Herbig signed to Pittsburgh. Good player, really nice spot starts. Started regressing through his injury a little bit towards the late portion of the year, but good player going over to Pittsburgh. Nathan Shepard and Sheldon Rankins, both guys we mentioned leaving from the interior defensive line, both now going over to the New Orleans Saints. So, having some fun over there. And then staying in town but going to the Giants is Jeff Smith. Not a big loss there, but he's a guy who's been on this roster for a long time. I actually think that Nathan Shepard was probably the longest tenured Jet on the roster. And losing him to New Orleans is not a loss whatsoever. But it also creates somebody else as the longest tenured Jet. I wonder who that would be. It's probably like Ty Johnson at this point has been here the longest. Somebody like doesn't seem like it would be them at all, unfortunately. CJ Mosley maybe getting into the mix. Anybody from like the McCagnan era is considered really old now in terms of Jets history. But yeah, we'll see. Joe Douglas is building the new thing. It's not going to be 4 years, 5 years is the max with this team. It's going to be guys that have been here for 8, 9 whole careers here, retiring, numbers retired. That's what Joe Douglas is building for us. And then the notable free agent Jets that are still available, Connor McGovern. We need a center, so he's still there, a guy that we're looking at. Quan Alexander is still available. LaMarcus Joyner, George Fant. There are some others like Joe Flacco's and stuff, but they're not impactful enough to really worry about. So McGovern, Alexander, Joyner, and Fant are all guys the Jets can potentially bring back on cheap hometown discounts. Hey, keep your house, stay where you've been living, come back to the Jets. What do you think? If the draft doesn't go well and these guys are still available, or Joe Douglas thinks he wants to bring them back, hey, fine by me. Another news, Brant Boyer is returning to the Jets. He's been our special teams coordinator since 2016, and there were some rumors he may go to Arizona, but that's not happening. And the news that he's not going, kind of like, it seemed more in stone, like, oh no, he's coming back to the Jets after the Jets got Thomas Morstead. And I wonder if there's any portion of him that was like, listen, man, I just can't be the coordinator with Braden Mann anymore. This guy's making me pull my hair out. Or he didn't want to go back to having the kicker carousel. And so once they signed Greg Zuerlein and Thomas Morstead, he's like, you know what? I'm not going to Arizona. I'm staying here. Brant Boyer, realistically, is the longest tenured Jet. He's a coach, but since 2016, he's becoming a Jet legend right before our eyes, having an awesome special teams, tons of all-pros, really, really good production out of a lot of really, really low-level talent guys. I love Brant Boyer. I'm glad he's staying. So that's basically it for this one. I'm going to close this thing out, and I know there's a lot of rumors and news about Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot of other guys the Jets could be going after, some big-name free agents and targets. There's other rumors and stuff swirling around this team, but I'm not going to do that podcast tonight. I'm going to have that available on Friday. So look for This is the Jet Life under the Fans First Sports Network. Find that podcast on Friday, and then, yeah, enjoy two slightly smaller episodes, even though this episode's going to be like 45 minutes. It wasn't the 30-minute podcast I envisioned, but maybe Fridays will be. We'll see what we can do. Have a wonderful day. Rate, review, subscribe. Always appreciated. Can't wait to talk to you on Friday. I'm Dan Burnham, and this is The Jet Life.